CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. All right, let's get cracking. Things to do, people to see, places to go. What do you mean, Plumes? Don't you think I'm crazy enough? You have to question me, and then I have to explain my craziness to you. There are about 17 different people living in my head every day. So one of them just one of the more vicious alpha psychotic ones pushed themselves to the front and took over while I was doing the introduction to the show this morning. Makes sense.
Good morning, Gareth, and to your multiple personalities.
Yes, well, good morning to you and all of your personalities this morning. You know, I mean,
I don't have a lot of personalities. I just have the ego of many people.
No, you have all of them, trust me. So Sigmund Freud famously said that you're not a single person. Your idea of self. Mbulelo, you can jump in here because I know you've read this stuff as well. But he says basically you have a collective unconscious. And that collective unconscious is a result of a whole bunch of different yous that are always competing inside your head. And he says there are three parts to this. There's the id, which is basically your natural primal lizard brain self that is aggressive and competitive and sexual and makes usually the most obvious fight or flight decisions. And on top of your id is your ego, which is what you were talking about now, Sia, which is, as far as I can remember, and I mean, this is stuff that I read a long time ago, but your ego is basically there with your idea of who you are as the commanding engine. And then on top of that, you have a super ego. And your super ego is like your, that's the one that's trying to get you to behave better than your reptile brain all the time. It's the one that says to you, no, that's not acceptable. This is... do this, don't do that. It's almost like a tyrannical parent. Is that roughly correct?
I'd say you about nailed it.
Yeah, it's hard to remember exactly what, because, I mean, listen, Freud, he's a complex human being. I mean, he's got some really interesting ideas, and he gets a tough rap these days, but the guy really was a breakthrough when it comes to... Well, he many of his ideas were breakthroughs when it comes to how we understand ourselves. But yeah, so I'm a collection. I'm willing to accept I'm a collection of very strange personalities all rolled into one.
So basically, there's a party in your head all the time.
Yeah, sometimes it's not a party; it's just a shouting match. And then occasionally that super ego comes in and says, "No,
yeah,
no, you will not." And then I kind of behave myself for a while. But sometimes the id takes over as well. And that's when I'm like, the goo. You know?
There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a huge.
So the id is always the one that comes out on Twitter for some reason.
Yeah. Well, Twitter speaks directly to that id. Twitter reinforces the id. It magnifies the bad parts of the id. It's just Twitter's designed. It's an engine for us to behave in the worst possible way every time. It's unreal.
Although South African Twitter is really, really special.
Oh, it's bad.
I think South African Twitter is very special. And there are people on Twitter that are so quick off the mark. They just know how to, those clapbacks, man. They know how to bring those clapbacks.
I get the feeling, the distinct feeling that a lot of people on South African Twitter are really, it's become a place where they're playing out their own psychodrama. And they don't really take responsibility for what happens on there. But they feel like it's a place where they can totally be their id. And you know, it's probably the only time in their lives that they've been allowed free expression, because in their real life, they don't get any. And therefore, it's unbridled. And it can be extremely strong. It's so weird. So, huh?
Is that your super ego, extremely strong? That's what you're going with.
No, we're still on id.
Your super ego, like telling you.
I think we're still on id. I'm choosing my words carefully though, because I know, you know, the problem with all of us.
I'm sensing that. Yeah.
The problem with all of us is, if you catch us off guard, we think we're talking about somebody else, but we're actually talking about ourselves.
Well said.
Right?
Well said.
Like, 100%.
What do you mean?
We throw stones at other people and then we run and hide. But actually, it's because we are afraid they'll throw stones at us first. So a lot of people have no ability to reflect on whether it's your ego, superego, or id. They have no way of looking back at themselves. And I know I say a lot of things sometimes and I'm actually just projecting. I've tried to be more aware of it because it's very destructive and it's stupid. And frankly, it doesn't make you sound or look very smart when you behave like that.
But, and you've nailed it. I think especially in a aesthetically driven world, more and more, right, is I wish I could look like that. I wish. So somewhere deep down is the six-pack guy or girl on the magazine.
Right.
I hate her because I'm not willing to suffer to look like that. And now you see it more and more. It's probably always been that way. It's just that now that people can put it on Twitter and it's, ugh, it is messy. If you go to the dark side of the moon, of the, what is it, the weather of our consciousness, we always need to make sure it's clear. Otherwise, phew.
Yeah, I love that.
It'll get you.
I love that.
It'll get you.
Wow. Hey, Pumi, I went out for dinner on Monday night. And I bumped into your friend, Mpumi.
Yeah.
Just so weird. So I was sitting down waiting for these other people to arrive for dinner, and Mpumi came and sat down with me. And I felt, yay, we're getting back to normal now. Because we weren't wearing masks, and she was talking, and I was talking, and we kind of greeted each other in a normal way. And, you know, I felt like, yay, things are starting to return to normal. That made me very happy.
Yeah, you know, things are starting to return to normal everywhere except the Western Cape.
Why? Oh. What's going on there?
Oh, my goodness. Even Alan, how do you say your last name? Alan
Windbag. Windy. Sorry. Oh. Yeah. That guy.
He put out a statement yesterday because they're having a serious resurgence.
Really? In infection rates?
In infection rates, and we put out a statement about how much pressure their facilities are under, both private and public, and that their numbers, I think they had an increase of over 52% of positive cases in the past week. So they're struggling over there.
Can I just say to anybody who thinks they've got COVID, don't go to hospital unless you present with symptoms.
Even if you present with symptoms, right? First you must isolate,
yes,
be at home, just like...
So you don't need
unless
to, you don't need to go to hospital.
Respirator.
Right. Because I think a lot of people are so wound up by this thing. Can I play you something quickly? The funniest little clip. You don't need visuals for this because it's just a girl with a mask on, but it's hilarious, right? Just listen to this quickly.
Oh, my apologies. I was wearing my mask because I just got back from a full day of being a good person. I love my mask because it's a simple yet effective way to display my righteousness. Am I concerned that two children in China dropped dead because they were forced to wear masks in gym class? Nope. Am I concerned that we're creating a generation of children who will be socially awkward and conditioned to fear their fellow man? No. Am I concerned that I'm contributing to an impending socialist technocracy that will enslave the global population? Not even a little bit. Am I concerned that my mask is symbolic of my compliance to the social conditioning that will eventually lead to the forced vaccination of every man, woman, and child on planet Earth? Not a chance. And why am I not concerned, you ask? I'm not concerned because I decided a long time ago that shallow, insignificant gestures are a much easier way to showcase my morality than actually being moral. Because in order to be a real good person, I gotta stand up to a real bad person. And I don't like standing up to or for anything. I've decided that it's much easier to trick my own mind into thinking compliance is a virtue instead of what compliance actually is. Cowardice. I prefer to float through life completely ignorant to the fact that every socialist takeover has always begun in the exact same way. With government overreach, public shaming, censorship, and a toilet paper shortage. Don't believe me? Google toilet paper shortage in communist Russia. Did you think you were having a unique experience? I prefer to pretend history never repeats itself so that I can stand by and turn a blind eye every time history repeats itself. I prefer to call anyone who speaks up, fights back, or stands their ground a lunatic or a conspiracy theorist so that I don't feel obligated to do my own research. Research takes away from me time. And lastly, I prefer to put on my mask and stand among a sea of masks so that I never have to be seen, be free, or reveal the deep dark shadows that lurk within me.
Spot on.
Oh, jeez.
How true is that? Just unbelievable, and it cuts right to the bone. Okay. Somebody says, I am, this is Robert. He says, hi all. I have two talks at once while watching the video. Okay, Robert's clearly drunk.
Okay.
I was going to say, doesn't fully understand that?
No, I don't get it either. Some people are saying, Pumi, they love your duk. Pumi, you're looking...
As people know, the duk is a euphemism for there's a whole lot of stuff going on under here.
Yeah, well, Annette says you're looking particularly beautiful this morning. So there we go.
Well, good morning.
Kerry also says, morning, guys, and to beautiful Pumi. See, we don't get that, Sia. We don't
see what game is being played.
Yeah, there's never a beautiful Sia or beautiful Gareth or beautiful Bulelo. It's always a beautiful Pumi. That's what? Fine. We'll remember you. That's fine.
Yeah,
after sure. Sia's poses. Sia's poses. No, striker pose. Look at that.
He poses, huh?
And it's, you're stuck with us tomorrow. You'll have a whole other week not having this Pumi on. But sure, let's see. You have this one.
Mina, I'll be there for you every morning at 6.
I'm here.
Can we talk about, since we spoke about music the other day, I think it's probably relevant because she's one of my favorite artists, but Sia has just discovered the joys of Dionne Warwick, and she is something else. I mean, she also, for a long time, I think she still runs that psychic hotline.
She's not what? Okay.
Yes, you didn't know she ran a psychic hotline. No, you can call up and Dionne Warwick or one of her people, one of the other psychics, will tell you your fortune and tell you what's coming up. I mean, she's totally insane, but I do love her music. She's just, I mean, she did all those songs in the 60s with like Burt Bacharach and Hal David and, you know, what? Do you get when you fall in love? Guy with a pen to burst your bubble. That's what you get for all your troubles. I never fall in love again. Right, all those cute songs. And then she did a bunch of songs in the 70s and 80s with the Bee Gees. Why do you have to be a heartbreaker? And then she's done just a ton of music. I mean, she really is a very, very prolific artist. And I've mentioned this before on the show.
Brilliant voice, though.
Love that voice. Even now, hey, because she's old and it's crackly.
Yes.
It sounds like one of those records with those scratches and things. But she's so good. She can still hit the notes. And she's an old lady now. I mean, you watch videos of her now and she's definitely a go-go. But I love her.
She is so active on Twitter. We were talking about Twitter earlier. I think if you want to amuse yourself, just scroll through her timeline. She's about to turn 80 in December.
Oh, yeah?
And I started picking her up a couple of days ago just because of what she says online. So the initial tweet that got my attention was she tweeted saying, "Hello, everyone. I just want you to know that when you create playlists on these music streaming platforms, if you add my song, I, as the artist, get to see where you're adding my playlist and the name of the playlist." So what she was basically saying is, when you and your boo thing or creating a couple's night or sex playlist. Oh. She can sit, and so she's basically disgusted that you add her and probably calling it like, oh, Freaky Friday.
Yeah. Or hardcore sex with my boo. Yeah. And there's like four Dionne Warwick songs. She's like, oh my God.
Although that is useful, that is a useful piece of information.
Right? It makes you reconsider everything now.
Let me just see.
Because I have, you know, I have my pity playlist. I have the bad day bath time playlist. I kid you not. So
I don't think I've got any embarrassing titles. Let me just check. I'm just going to check quickly.
Let me scroll through the rest of mine.
Yeah, that does change things when you think Stevie Nicks might be judging you for
I've got such boring playlist names here. I've got party, I've got classics, I've got pre-drinks, I've got ballads, Christmas, classical, comedy, then I've got old school party, Shazams. Now, I have nothing interesting. I'm sorry. That's so disappointing. I thought I'd have something for Dionne Warwick there, but I don't.
Imagine how pissed off Mariah Carey is if she's not in your sex playlist. You know, like someone with that kind of ego. She's, Mariah Carey is weird because she's really a one percenter in absolute 1% like talent. And then the ego matches it. You know, most people with real talent don't have that ego to go with it. But she's probably so pissed off. She's like, why am I not the number one sex playlist woman in the world?
Mariah Carey would probably take a day out of her life just to email people to say, why am I not on your, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's that kind sense. Of. And if you got it from her, you wouldn't believe it. So you just delete it. And it would actually have been from her.
I have just even recently from yesterday, I have a playlist called Today's Bath. And that is 24 minutes. I time my songs according to my playlist. And then not
give
only
us,
do
give
I
us,
have
give a... us two songs off that playlist. I want to hear what's just choose two random ones.
From Today's Bath, which was yesterday. Okay. There is two songs from The Greatest Showman. You know, you have to wake up all excited.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that is a musical. And then I have, is actually a cool song that I recommend. It's by this guy called JVKE.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Upside Down. If you want to get up and go song, it really is cool.
All right, let me find
Is it 24 minutes? Is this you in the shower for 24 minutes? Yeah.
In the bath, yes. I time everything specifically.
You just hear the song that you were in the bath listening to this morning. I'm just imagining Sia in the bath with that playing. Oh, we'll be playing that at 7. Oh, that's great. Okay.
Isn't that a good get up and go song?
Sia.
I like it.
Sia's in the bath. She was smart like an A plus student. while he's luxuriating in the bath. I love it. Okay, that's beautiful. So I don't know if you guys saw this. You must have seen it, but Maradona died last night. You know, the Argentine football great. I checked immediately to see if he was on the death pool, and he isn't, so nobody gets any points for that. But we should have had him on the death pool because the guy was...
He was in hospital for, like, 2 weeks.
And he was hoovering up mountains of cocaine, so... It was really just a matter of time. I mean, this is not even controversial. If you put people who take a lot of cocaine on a list, Maradona would always have been in the top 10.
He was, dude, living it up.
El Pibe de Oro, they called him, the golden boy. Something else. He was something else.
You know, some people put him above Pele in the rankings of the greatest footballers on earth. Some put it below, obviously. There's so much controversy around the guy, but he was undoubtedly one of the most talented footballers. In his prime, he was just a machine. He got me interested in football. I will never forget, and I still support Argentina to this day in World Cups because of Maradona.
Is that why you support Argentina? You even even have a jersey.
Many jerseys. It's the only kind that I have. I don't have anything like Blue Bulls or you know, Pirates or Chiefs, or I have just Argentina shirts. If there's a, you know, football match on and Argentina playing, I can deck myself like the Christmas tree. But I remember my brother and I got into it at the same time. He's 3 years younger than me, my brother, and we both got into football because of Maradona. And although we didn't watch the 1986 World Cup because we were both really young, we didn't watch it with any kind of, understanding. I just remember that in the lead up to the 1990 World Cup, Maradona was all they were talking about because he'd been such a hero the previous 4 years. And when we watched football in 1990, it was Italia 90, right? And I just remember all that was on our minds was Maradona. And I could still, up to probably a few years ago, I could have named the whole Argentine team that played in 1990. I was a proper fanatic. I mean, very unusual for me to be like that about sport, as you can guess, Mbulelo. But he was probably the only guy in sport. I can say he was the only guy in sport that I would really have loved to have met. And when he came out here to do, you know, he was supposedly the coach for the World Cup in 2010. Although, again, I think that there were other people handling most of the work because he was very addled already. But I remember watching through binoculars because I went to every Argentina match. I flew to Cape Town with my brother for one of them. We went to either Limpopo or KZN or Bloemfontein or one of them. But we watched every Argentina match. And I remember watching Maradona as much as I was watching what was going on the field. So I don't want to go on about it too long because, I mean, if people take a lot of coke, they get heart attacks. That's what happens. So I'm not upset. I'm not going to say, oh, too soon. Really, I'm surprised he lasted as long as he did.
Yeah, what I'm not taking or accepting from anyone since the news broke yesterday. For anyone who says they were shocked, and for anyone who says, oh, gone too soon.
No.
Come on now.
If you're shocked, if you're shocked that Maradona died of a heart attack after Tupperware's full of cocaine, then you really don't know how cocaine works.
Clearly. We interviewed his first agent ever on Cliff Central Sports. Shout out to that whole thing. Go and subscribe, dear friend.
Yes.
And he told us the story of when the mafia took over. But I just wanted to tell you, Gareth, Maradona is simply one of the biggest enigmas in history in terms of sport. I mean, there's him, there's Muhammad Ali, and there's Tiger Woods. There's never been anyone. Those three transcended the game like nobody has ever done before. And I'm very fortunate to have experienced it in the ultimate sort of coliseum.
Yeah.
I went to something they call the La Bombonera, the chocolate box, right? For the biggest game that you can have, it's El Clasico. It is River Plate against Boca Juniors. It's a spiritual experience. You've never felt
You went to one of those?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a sports fan. These are the things that I spent my booze and that in my 20s. That's what I spent my money on. And so in this environment, I mean, they had great players. I'm talking about the players of all players. And he's, of course, a Boca Juniors guy from those very streets. To this day, the biggest murals, whatever it was, that was 08, still Maradona. But that's not the biggest anomaly about him. When I went to Naples, so he's famous for going to Napoli and winning them their only title in decades. In Naples, he is still no mob boss. Nobody is bigger. And there's more murals. There's more number 10 jerseys hung out outside poor people's houses than Diego Maradona. This guy touched people's hearts like nobody. And football's unique in this way that it does this to people. But he touched people's hearts like nobody has ever done in two countries. That's almost impossible.
Yeah, there was a guy on Sky News last night who was in the English team that played against Argentina when that hand of God goal took place. And he was saying that if you go to Argentina even now, and you know, Lionel Messi is undoubtedly one of the greatest footballers that has ever lived. But he said, if you go to Argentina now, to a man, they will tell you Maradona is the greatest footballer that ever lived.
See, the difference there is that Leo Messi left really early. So for those who don't know the story, is he actually needed growth hormones when he was young. He had stunted growth. So he left as a 13-year-old. In South America, it's very different. If you play in their league and you stay at home, they love you more. Maradona, you must remember, did the ultimate. Yeah. They love the Alba Celeste, which is their team, the blue and white, is you win for them, you are immortal. And Messi's never quite transcended that. Yeah. Plus, they view Messi more as European than as one of their own. They've got a very interesting culture there.
Jesus.
So,
Maradona. I think we might have to retire the number 10 jersey.
Jersey number 10.
Worldwide. I think we might have to retire worldwide.
I agree with you.
Just for control.
Yes, I agree.
Just for control. Because the greatest that ever was.
Okay, there's other news. So let's get into some headlines quickly. The illegal connections claim, illegal connections in Zandspruit, you know, the informal settlement. They're struggling with illegal electricity connections, and it's actually claimed the lives of three children. Besides them causing power outages, these illegal connections are actually costing people lives. Three kids have died in the area after stepping on wires that shocked them to death. Another child is in a critical condition in hospital. According to City Power's Isaac Mangena, they cannot electrify the area legally until the Human Settlements Department proclaims that land. Now, I remember when we lived on a farm, we had a neighbor, and her name was Catherine, but she had a German husband, so we used to call her Kesserin. And she used to get up on a ladder on the back of her bucky. She was a real farm woman. And she'd take a long pole and switch her electricity back on manually herself.
Yes.
She was unafraid. Damn. But I'll tell you something. I've seen some horrible videos of people being electrocuted by these illegal power connections. Look.
I have a friend who worked for City Power.
Yeah.
And he probably in his first 6 months on the job, and he worked with the heavy current, so you know when they bring out the guys that come and fix
those high tensile wires,
those the high, ones. Yes, with that bucket, and you go up, and when he went up on the pole, and the guy that was supposed to have shut down the system in that on that part of the grid had not done it. And he obviously he picked up the cable and was electrocuted.
Oh Jesus.
He survived.
He survived?
But he survived. He survived, but he had his arm amputated.
Oh my God.
Above the elbow, his one leg, his face is completely but he was in hospital for a year.
Oh my God.
Burns all over his body because obviously, you know, the current went through him. And so it's a very dangerous game.
Jesus, it's horrible.
That people play.
And you know, a lot of these illegal connections that we're talking about, they're on the ground. They're not even up in the sky. So kids are running around, and when it rains, they get wet so that the water becomes, a pool of charge. It's just very, very dangerous. I'm going to look out, and it's not to be fucked around with, honestly. Whew, that's a horrible story. The BBC are reporting that 40 years in jail is what you will be sentenced to in South Korea if you are part of a sex abuse group. And the leader of a sex abuse group on chat lines.
Group.
So it was like a WhatsApp group, I suppose. So listen to this. This guy, Cho Ju-bin, has been found guilty of running a group which blackmailed girls into sharing sexual videos that were then posted into pay-per-view chat rooms. At least 10,000 people used the chat rooms, with some paying up to $1,200 for access. Some 74 people, including 16 underage girls, were exploited. The accused has widely distributed sexually abusive content that he created by luring and threatening victims. So they sentenced him to 40 years in jail. Apparently,
wow. We could do with some of that.
I agree. I think we should have very harsh sentences in this country for that kind of thing. Said Cho was guilty of violating laws to protect children from sexual abuse and for running a criminal ring which produced and sold abusive videos in order to make a profit. Cho's criminal syndicate sold the videos they acquired through blackmail to secretive chat rooms. Oh, not on WhatsApp, but on Telegram. Sure. Anyway, he said, I apologize to those who were hurt by me. Thank you for putting a brake on the life of a devil that could not be stopped. So there he goes for 40 years off to jail. And I agree with you.
Yeah, we could do with some of that.
Yeah, we really could. I mean, we started glibly. We started 16 days of activism. Whoopee, whatever that means. And what we really should have is some actual development in law, some harsher sentencing, more than just talk from politicians, but it's not going to happen. Politicians will do what that woman with the mask that I played that clip earlier is doing. They will virtue signal. They will try to look like they're good people. That's all they care about, is they want you to think they're good people, but they'll do absolutely nothing.
I heard a beautiful term. Go ahead, pull me.
Bumbulelo.
I heard a beautiful term. The art of semantics is what politicians are great at. Which is what political correctness does, right? Is let's make the surface. It's like makeup, but let's deal with the surface, and we never really.
But this is there's another word for it that's also quite a new word. I mean, I certainly haven't heard this word being used in politics or in public discourse very much until very recently. But performative, you know, as long as you perform the ritual of being a good person. As long as you go on stage somewhere in 16 days of activism and you say, oh, there's a disgrace that women in this country are abused and we should stand up for our sisters and mothers and aunts and daughters. And everyone goes, yes, and everyone gets upset and everyone screams and shouts. And then as soon as you walk off the stage, you forget about what you've said and you do nothing. You do nothing. You're basically just performing.
Although I think our politicians are even beyond that. They're not even performing anymore. They just don't care. They just really don't care. I think in South Africa, we've got a serious problem. And yeah, they just don't care. Really, they truly, truly just don't care. Not even about like performing it. If you look at, so 16 days of activism.
Yeah.
And then look at the people who get the platforms to speak. They're just reinforcing and re-traumatizing.
They're often men who are in their own private lives abusive. I mean, we know about Dudu Zimanana, right? And we know about some other people in the ANC's NEC. They don't fire you. They don't get rid of you. They don't take you away and put you in jail. They just say, please don't do that again. It's so embarrassing for us.
Yeah,
it's more about damage to other men.
I don't even think that happens.
You don't even think so? You think they laugh? You think they actually? You think they actually slap each other on the back and say, "Oh my God, how could you get caught, you idiot?" But they don't think about those women.
They're not even giving like they're not even calling each other out in the background on some. Don't do that.
Jesus.
Don't be that guy. It's just.
Well, let's return briefly to Argentina, where Diego Maradona died Wednesday at the age of 60. His body will lie in state at the Casa Rosada. That's where, famously, Perón's body lay in state. So that's the seat of the Argentine government. I mean, you couldn't have a more heroic funeral and farewell than they're planning for him. To be Diego Maradona was incredibly beautiful, said a man called Ossi Ardiles, who was his teammate early on. He told the BBC
agent,
that.
And all-time great. Tottenham.
That's right.
And Argentina
now he's
great,
the,
Ossi Ardiles.
Now, yeah, you know, he on the he said, well, talking about Maradona, on the other hand, it was not easy to be Maradona. From an early age, he was subject to the press all the time. He didn't have a normal childhood. He never had normal teenage years. Everybody wanted to be with him. Everybody wanted a piece of him. It was incredibly difficult. So he will go down in history, but before he goes down in history, he will go down in a flamboyant way in Argentina, where they really do have, I mean, if you look at those tombs in parts of Buenos Aires, if you've ever been there, they have such a thing about death in Argentina. And I think he's going to only become greater.
Oh,
he's going to become greater in death than he ever was in life. I mean, again, we refer to Eva Perón. And, you know, this guy's, there's going to be, they're going to be songs. There already are songs written about him, but he's going to grow and grow and grow in death.
I think he'll get a redeemer
statue. Something happens in that South.
Yeah. He will.
No, no, I'm not
something
kidding.
Something happens in that South America, though.
Yeah.
With the way that they revere their ancestors.
Right.
That whole South America, they just know how to, like, celebrate a person.
All right, we're going to have to leave that there because we don't have a lot of time for headlines this morning. We've got Sean Sanders coming up with Revix in just a moment or two. And if you don't know, you should be aware that Bitcoin dropped from $19,200 overnight to $17,600. So there's lots to talk to Sean about. But before we get to that, tonight is the Super Enna Lotto draw with a payout of 1.3 billion rand. That's only 30 rand a bet. So you stand a chance to be 1.3 billion rand richer if you take one of those bets. You know, if you want to win the lotto, you have to buy the ticket. You've got to meet God halfway. Place your bets now at lottoland.co.za. Lottoland South Africa is a licensed bookmaker with the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. No persons under the age of 18 are permitted to gamble. Winners know when to stop. The National Responsible Gambling toll-free counseling line is 0800-006-008. Very good. All right. Well, while we wait for Sean to join us this morning, we're going to get to him in a second. And it's always good to check in with Sean because, you know, he's kind of our only barometer on what's happening in the markets these days. Before we get to that, we do have a hell of a show lined up for you in the Burning Platform later on this morning. As always, Pumi and Canton will dissect a whole lot of the things that are going on in the world. And we're going to be joined by Lito Ndoba, who is a lecturer at the Central University of Technology. He's also a debater and a socio-political analyst. He was on my TV show not so long ago, so I'm excited to have him on again just a little bit later on this morning. Hey, Sean Sanders, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Gareth. Yeah, very good, Will. Very good on yourself, sir.
Excellent, excellent. Except I got this notification that Ethereum is down 15.8% in the last 3 days.
Yeah, the crypto markets actually had a bit of a pullback as of last night. I mean, I think things were getting a little too heated. I mean, it was just week over week. I mean, Bitcoin's had 7 weeks of straight gains. The last time we saw that was 2017. So wow. It's time that we've actually seen a bit of a pullback. Okay. And you've actually seen the crypto market across the board pull back about between 10 to 15% today.
It kind of struck me a little bit because I checked last night. I'm not obsessed or anything, but I saw $19,200 yesterday, and now I've seen $17,592 as we're talking now. That's quite a substantial drop. That's not just pulling back. If it was the stock market, we'd all be running and screaming and putting out the flames on our backs.
Oh, yeah, most certainly. But this is crypto, right? I mean, just as quick as it can go up, it can come down.
Right.
And if you look back, I mean, just last week, I mean, we're essentially flat over the last week. So Bitcoin's back where it started this week. And, you know, we could potentially see a further 10 to 15% pullback. I mean, it's not odd for crypto to pull back more than that, right? And I think that's, you know, we've been saying this at Revix for a long time. You sort of have to look at the longer term investment case here because you are going to see these periods of major spikes like what you've seen over the last while, big pullbacks. It's just the way crypto works. It's the way that you see adoption grow. I mean, it's these sort of euphoric moments or periods that get a lot of people interested in the space. And they get people leaving their traditional jobs to actually come and work in the crypto space to start new projects and all the rest. Mm-hmm. And that's how this ecosystem grows. And I mean, over the last 3 years, you've seen a lot of the ecosystem grow. So whether it be data providers, custodians that look after your cryptocurrencies, exchanges, et cetera, I mean, the space has really, really been growing. And I think you are starting to see, well, I don't think, I know that you're seeing institutional players enter the space now. You're actually seeing a very big rotation out of gold and into Bitcoin. And yes, that's something that I think you would have probably laughed at me if I said that 2 or 3 years ago. But now this is actually something that's happening. You're having institutions say, I don't want to just have gold in my portfolio. I want to have Bitcoin as well.
Well, luckily, if you have some money with Revix, then you can have both. So that's
exactly awesome. There we go. There's the sales pitch. Yes.
Diversify. All right. But let's be clear about this, because the next question I'm going to ask you is, it's a very pointed question. And I do want to reiterate this because we need to be clear. You know, we're not giving financial advice here. This is not financial advice. What we try to do with Sean is we try to explore the various options. But the question I'm going to ask you, and you'll see why I put that proviso up front, is what is the best way to invest in this kind of market? And I'm only asking you based on your experience, the people you speak to. I'm not asking you because that's what I'm going to go and do. And nobody should just do what they hear. They should actually do a little investigation themselves and make sure they're comfortable with what they invest and not invest their whole life savings in one thing. I mean, that's kind of been your message all along, Sean. But how do you invest in this market?
Yeah, so when you have a volatile market like this, and especially when the prices have been increasing like they have over the last while, I mean, can Bitcoin increase to $30,000? Yes. Can it pull back to $15,000 or $12,000? Yes. So it's a volatile market. The crypto market's going to go up and down for the next while. The best way to sort of invest in this market is firstly not to consider yourself a trader. And I know that's not the advice that a lot of people want to hear, because they like to treat crypto as a casino and they like to go and, you know, bet on black or bet on a single cryptocurrency, but that's probably not the best way to go about investing in the space. Rookie traders, and that is pretty much most of the traders out there, the way that professional traders make money is from the rookie traders. Like, that's just the way it works. And the reason for that is really that somebody, you know, you've got human emotions, right? So when you're making an investment, you sort of, you know, you want to get involved for whatever reason when the prices are high and you've got the euphoria, like what we've had over the last while. And that's probably not the best time to get involved. It would be really good when the markets are falling like what they are now, and perhaps if they fall a little bit further to get involved. But at that point in time, everyone's quite fearful. So, you know, you sort of need to be able to remove your emotions from it, and that's not quite so simple. So the best way to probably invest is to take a dollar cost averaging approach, which means that you invest a small amount of money over a set period of time. So let's say every single month you invest 500 Rand or you invest 1,000 Rand or whatever you feel comfortable investing.
Sure.
And then provided that the long-term trajectory of the market is from the bottom left to the top right, so the market is growing, then your investment is going to increase in value. And that's sort of our approach. We're saying, look at the long-term investment approach. I've said this so many times on your show, I'm sure that everyone's getting bored of me saying it, but look at the long-term investment potential here. If you had looked at Bitcoin 5 years ago, or any of the other cryptocurrencies 5 or 10 years ago, and you looked at the longer term investment potential, it doesn't matter what you're doing when you're trading. Like, maybe you get lucky, maybe you bet on the right cryptocurrency, but look at the market, look how the market's growing, look at what's actually happening in the traditional world as well. I mean, I think it was just yesterday that you had the International Finance Institution come out with a record level of debt. They've said that the world's debt is $272 trillion, and that's 4 times the global GDP at the end of the year. I mean, that's absolutely insane. And that's part of the reason why you're seeing sort of this growth in crypto.
But if you were a trader, you might have sold last night if you were very lucky at like 7 or 8 o'clock, and then you would have woke up this morning and your money would be worth more because you'd cashed out. But in the long run, you probably would have missed out on this anyway, because you wouldn't have been invested in Bitcoin to see it go up. So it's really a bit of a mug's game if you're gonna trade. And it is pure luck. I mean, there are people who claim to have inside info. It's like people who say they can beat the casino. The safest, surest way to do this is to play the long game, right?
Yeah, I mean, I used to work at a trading firm. It's quite funny. As a trader, you don't actually trade. All you're doing is essentially being able to, you're putting in, indicators into an algorithm, essentially. Mm. That algorithm's doing the trading. The thing is that you as an individual, you're emotional, right? So when the market does what it does now, right, where it pulls down, you're panicking, you're selling, you're not wanting to buy, whereas an algorithm might be making a different decision and moving into the market. So yeah, I think the best advice that I can give is just, you know, be very aware of your emotions. Don't, if you've already bought into crypto, maybe don't go panic sell right now. If you're looking to get involved in crypto, into the market slowly, be sensible. This is not meant to be a casino. It's meant to be an investable class.
Yeah. Well, that's very good advice. Some of the things that are offered on Revix are probably interesting to people who are more conservative and to people who are more risky in terms of the way that they want to see their money managed. But you can do it all yourself, and you can buy into a number of different portfolios. They've got balanced funds there. They've got their Pax Gold. They've got the three different kinds of. Because I always forget the one. Sure. I always leave one out. There are three different kinds of crypto packages you could buy into there. What are they again?
Sure. So we've got the top 10 bundle, which provides exposure to the top 10 cryptocurrencies. They're all equally weighted. We've then got a payment bundle, which provides exposure to the payment-focused cryptocurrencies, so the likes of Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ripple, etc. And then smart contract-oriented cryptocurrencies, which have the likes of Ethereum, NEO, Cardano, Tron. And those are looking to sort of create the blockchain infrastructure for other applications to be built on top of. And they've actually done really well. I mean, our smart contract bundle and our payment bundle are up well ahead of Bitcoin this year.
Amazing.
You've seen just this last week some really remarkable returns. I mean, I think you're seeing Ripple up over 140%. You saw Stellar Lumens token up over 150%.
Sure.
So, while the market's pulling back, that's what I'm saying. I think this is a healthy pullback. And
right.
If you pull back an extra 5 or 10%, I think that will probably be even more healthy because you have seen the market sort of get ahead of itself.
Love it. Always good to talk to you, Sean, because you help us figure things out that are otherwise, they always look very confusing and very random until you explain them to us. So thank you very much, Sean Sanders. And Revix, you can find out more by going to Revix. You can sign up for free. You can verify your ID, add funds, and select the bundle of your choice. And for more information, you can head to revix.com. It's the smart way to invest in crypto. You know the market's changing all the time. So you want a diversified portfolio in the world's top cryptocurrencies, which automatically stays up to date with the ever-changing market. And they're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Revix Invest. Thanks, Sean.
Cheers, guys. Thank you so much.
Cool, man. Always good. Sean Sanders, Revix.com. Somebody wake Mbulelo up, says Celeste. Are you sleeping there, Mbulelo? Are you all right?
No, I'm taking notes. Celeste, but thank you. For
between the cap and the glasses, we don't know what's going on over there.
Well, I don't trust what people are going to do with my photo. That's my new approach.
we took a picture at the beginning of the show this morning, and Pumi was saying, why do you guys always take the picture where I'm pulling a face or I'm looking away or my one eye is woken up before the other one? And it's Sia.
Dude.
Sia, it's Sia Sangweni. He chooses the photos that make all of us look shit except him.
Except him.
No.
Yes, you're like the newspapers.
We already knew this because I don't know if I'm sure our listeners remember that how Sia picks his friends. Remember, he always wants to be the best looking person in the room.
Yes.
Oh,
and that's not me saying
okay.
that. A friend of mine always said, people always show you who they are. Just give them the time. So Sia has been consistent. My father always said, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them the first time.
So I've just, apparently if I change my screen, it changes for everyone. So from now on, we're just going to leave the screen with Sia on maximum. And then Pumi and Mbulelo and I can be in small pictures because Sia will like
that. Just like that.
That's great. That's terrific.
No, guys, it is not a personal attack. I try to a frame when everyone is expressive, looks like they're saying something.
Yeah.
You know, and it's tough.
Carl says that he heard that the price of cocaine has dropped materially overnight because global demand has fallen due to the death of Maradona. And that obviously is great news just ahead of the festive season. So.
Wow.
Wow, Carl.
Wow, guys. Wow.
They've got to put a big bag of cocaine in with the coffin when they bury him, right? They have to.
Absolutely. Like you bury a pastor with his Lamborghini, you got to bury Maradona with his coke, yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't there there was a great picture of him when he was flying over here in 2010, or it could even have been a subsequent World Cup somewhere. And he was photographed on this jet. And he's sitting there and he's got like a can of Coke or Pepsi or something. And then he's got his food. And then right behind the food, there's a big bag of white powder. He didn't even bother to hide it.
It's the last World Cup. It's the last World Cup. World Cup. Every time you just see him coked out of his head, dancing with everybody. It's the last World Cup. That last World Cup, guys, was definitely a sign that Maradona wasn't going to be with us much longer because the way he behaved at that World Cup,
which is great, he's
the best. It was astounding. Every time you saw Maradona, and I mean, he obviously travels with the crew, you know. Just
you want to know how great this guy was? His name will survive forever. You go to any township or homeland, or my parents are from rural areas. There is at least 10 guys nicknamed Maradona. If you're left-footed and you are in a township, or you're in the homelands, you're nicknamed Maradona straight away. Maradona.
Yeah, Maradona.
No question.
Yeah, for sure.
Transcendent figure.
All right, well, we've got the Burning Platform coming up next, and it's going to be a big one. There's always lots to talk about, but this morning is it's going to be Canton's back, which I know Pumi's pleased for, and just like, you know, when Pumi's away, then Canton's pleased when she comes back. And we've got Lito Ndoba, who joined us this morning too. And Lito's got lots to talk about. Yes.
Before we take a break, yesterday's show, which was about education, very, very fascinating. I saw some of the outtakes, but I watch your show on, because TV, right?
Yes.
So I watch it when it comes on the interwebs, as it will be. But I want to please make an ad announcement. I am working on a project.
Yes.
And a client of mine is giving away 9 scholarships, 1 per province, 3 years to any degree. So if you know somebody in matric, please just check out. I'm going to put it up on my Facebook, on my Twitter as well.
All right.
And my Facebook, how to enter. But it's part of this Woza Matrix, which SABC has been running kind of catch-up lessons for matric students.
Okay.
So wozamatrix@ourafrica.africa is the email address. If you know somebody who's in matric this year, who is looking for a scholarship, 1 per province, they got to send a motivation, their latest results, their letter of acceptance from a university or college. And yeah, that's it. And their ID and a proof of residence.
Cool.
That's
it.
Very nice.
So that's my ad.
Okay, very good. Love it. That's excellent.
That's very good.
It's one of the things that have been at least keeping my energies up, guys.
Yeah, we need to help this year's matrix. I mean, we need to help this year's matrix. And really, that was the focus of last night's show. And by the way, thank you to everybody who's said some nice things about the show last night, because we had some really exciting guests on. So if you were watching the show last night, thank you. We'll get to some more
Very
of your comments.
Important topic.
We'll get to some more of your comments in the Burning Platform. That's coming up next. CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com.